Hello and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight Latino Voices. I'm Joanna Hernandez. Here's what we're looking at.
We're going to protect the residents of the people of the city of Chicago.
How city and state officials are preparing immigrant communities against President Trump's deportation threats. Meanwhile, the Mexican government is launching an app in an effort to help those facing deportation. And a federal judge is blocking Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship, a look at the legal debate. And now to some of today's top stories. State and city officials are preparing communities and agencies for potential large-scale immigration raids. This as President Donald Trump ramped up his deportation plans by allowing federal authorities to target schools and churches.
We have given very clear instructions to our sister agencies and all of our city departments that they should and will and are expected to uphold our welcoming city ordinance. We are not going to interfere, but we certainly are not going to cooperate with that type of abhorrent behavior.
Meanwhile, the Department of Justice is reportedly threatening to prosecute local officials for resisting the administration's immigration enforcement plans. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul is pushing back. In a joint statement today, Raoul, along 10 other state attorneys general, say it is well established through longstanding Supreme Court precedent that the U.S. Constitution prevents the federal government from commemorating to enforce federal laws. Despite what he may say to the contrary, the president cannot rewrite the Constitution. Meanwhile, the city is launching a Know Your Rights ad campaign across the CTA system. The campaign aims to educate residents about their rights in the event of being stopped or detained by federal immigration agents. According to a city statement, ads will be displayed on more than 400 screens across the CTA. And this year's Oscar nominations are out. And at the top of the list is the Spanish-language film Emilia Perez, which has 13 nominations, including Best Picture and Best Actress. Next up, with 10 nominations each, was another musical, Wicked, as well as the power war epic, The Brutalist. The 10 films nominated for Best Picture are Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and, of course, Wicked. Up next, a one-on-one with a city official working to protect immigrants and refugees. That's right after this.
Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
Chicago's immigrant communities are preparing for the worst. That's in response to the Trump administration's promises of mass deportations for undocumented immigrants. But city and state officials are working with community groups to inform immigrants of their rights and reminding agencies of Chicago's sanctuary city status. Joining us now with more is Beatriz Ponce de Leon, Chicago's deputy mayor of immigrant, migrant, and refugee rights. Thank you for being with us again. It has been a week so far. Now, there are reports that anticipated ICE raids have been put on hold. What's the latest your team is hearing?
Well, I want to stress that we're not getting official information, and I know that there's a lot of information circulating in community, but we just know that we need to be prepared. So this new administration has made it clear that they are enforcing immigration laws, that they will be not only in Chicago, but in different places, and we have begun to see those interactions happening or hear reports of them. So the city, our role is to serve and protect all of our residents. For us, this is both about upholding civil rights and human rights, but also about community safety. And so we've decided that we are going to make sure that people have the information they need to make informed decisions for themselves and their families.
Putting that information out there. Another question that I want to ask, Trump signed a number of executive orders this week, as we saw, including an order that will allow immigration arrest at locations like schools and churches, which were previously off limits for more than a decade. How is the city preparing people for potential deportation raids? I mean, you talked about putting that information out there.
Well, first, it is really tragic that they would take away the safety of these sacred places. If you think about churches, schools, and hospitals where people should feel that they can be there and be safe. So definitely disappointed that that has happened. What we are doing is continuing to put guidance out in the city to our departments and our sister agencies about what they can do in the case of federal law enforcement, you know, coming to their locations. This is guidance that is based on our city ordinance as well as on the Illinois Trust Act. So they know if ICE were to come to their door to ask for identification, to ask for a signed judicial warrant, to call their legal counsel. These are guidelines that we've shared. And each organization department is making it their own, so they're tailoring it to the specific needs. We're also encouraging people to share the Know Your Rights information that our community partners, other legal partners, as well as the city, has been sharing so that people know as individuals what they need to do or what they can do to exercise their rights.
Would you say that there has been a bigger push this time around to, you know, put out this information about knowing your rights than in the past?
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to compare, but I know that it is a great moment in Chicago. There are organizations like the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights, the Resurrection Project, National Immigrant Justice Center. We have the United African Organization. So many organizations that have been already doing the work of informing their communities. And we're partnering with them. We're pushing out their information. And our Office of Immigrant, Migrant, and Refugee Rights, we've developed new resources that draw from those, but that are branded with the city logo, and we have uploaded them to our website as well as on our social media, specifically a brand new brochure called Know Your Rights and Resources, which we're really trying to promote and push out there. Seen a lot of interaction with that brochure. People are sharing it. And certainly the bus ads that have CTA is partnering with us.
Yeah, and talking about the bus ads, today the city, as I mentioned, the CTA announced a Know Your Rights digital ad campaign. Can you tell us more about this initiative? You did mention that this was first of its kind.
Yes, it's the first time that we are promoting Know Your Rights in such a widespread way. And the signs that we developed are in four different languages so that we know that this is a multilingual city and we want everyone to have access to the information. That campaign, whether it's a QR code or a URL, people can follow that to come to the Office of Immigrant, Migrant, and Refugee Rights page where they will see not only the Know Your Rights resource guide, but a variety of other resources. Some of them are targeted to specific communities. There's information there for workplaces, for employers, and just multilingual resources as well.
And I have to ask, how are you feeling about, you know, this change and you know, in a new presidential office? Mm-hmm. You know, how is your team feeling about this?
Mm-hmm. I think we are similar to many Chicagoans. People are a little bit afraid of uncertain of what's to come, but also hopeful and connected to community and others so that we can make sure that, you know, whatever our roles are, whether it's working in city government or at a school or being, you know, in a faith community or just working in some type of corporate setting, that we know we're all Chicagoans, we're all humans and are connected in many, many ways. We want to continue to make Chicago a welcoming city. We want people to know that they can be here, come here for opportunities, to be part of their communities, and do what we can to collectively reassure our fellow Chicagoans.
And we talked a lot about the resources, the brochures that are mm-hmm. out there. What, if any, protections are in place in case someone is approached by immigration agents? And what should they do if they are approached? What is that number one thing that the office has been spreading about? What is that thing that they should first do if they are approached by an mm-hmm. ICE agent?
Well, we would recommend that people have legal counsel. So I know that's expensive, but there are nonprofit organizations that you can turn to be connected to a lawyer. So if you are concerned about your status, then, you know, we reach out to the Resurrection Project, National Immigrant Justice Center, ICER, to be connected to some legal support. But if someone is approached, they have the right to remain silent. They do not have to answer questions. I think that that's the Know Your Rights information that we've been pushing out, and we hope that can get out into community as much as possible so that people know what steps that they can take.
And what about if someone has, you know, is aware of ICE activity, what should they do? Mm-hmm. Have you seen any calls to mm-hmm. your department of people calling, asking, you know, yep. questions or seeing, you know, any ICE activity in the neighborhood, in different neighborhoods?
Sure. Our office is not tracking that information, but if folks have any questions related to an immigration encounter, they can call 311. 311 will connect them to some of these resources we've been talking about. And if people feel unsafe in a situation, 911 is a number that can also be called. You know, this is a community safety effort as well. So while police will not intervene, they will ensure that there is safety in any of these. They will be there to support the citizens of Chicago and make sure that it's a safe interaction, safe situation.
What I also find interesting is social media. Mm-hmm. You know, the power of social media, how people have been taking to TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram to warn people of possible ICE sightings or just kind of describe what the neighborhoods are looking like. I think I mentioned to you that we've seen that Little Village has been, you know, pretty quiet in the last couple of days. You know, how important are these sites to, you know, getting the word out about potential raids?
Mm-hmm. I think that the roles, again, of the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant Refugee Rights, ICER, the Resurrection Project in particular, they are doing some of collecting of that information. Also, we do have to be careful about what's being shared because sometimes people are unsure, right? And there's a lot of sightings being reported. But I think through those two organizations in particular, if individuals are concerned or see something they want to report, they can connect with them to share that. And hopefully there are people who are validating that information.
Are you surprised with just the support on social media?
I'm really encouraged by it. I'm not surprised. Even during the new arrivals mission this last year and a half or so, although at times there was opposition, so much support from Chicagoans for our immigrant and refugee communities. So I think that this is just another iteration. And also, Chicago has always been a city that fights for workers' rights, for women's rights, for LGBTQ rights, and for immigrant rights. And this is just another example of the character of the city of Chicago.
And people coming together, you would say.
And people coming together to support one another. Yes.
And at a joint press conference today, Mayor Johnson and Governor Pritzker defended Chicago's role as a welcoming city and Illinois' role as a sanctuary city. How are the city and state working together to help ease deportation fears in immigrant communities, you would say?
Well, we're very aligned around our sanctuary status as both city and state. As you saw, Mayor and Governor both talking about informing people of their rights, making sure that our departments and agencies and law enforcement comply with the Welcoming City Ordinance and the Illinois Trust Act. And certainly as this continues, I think that we're looking at all the tools at our disposal to be able to stand up for what Chicago wants to remain as a sanctuary city.
And what's that message, Deputy, that you know, that message to scale back the fear of what to do if someone is aware of ICE activity? You know, what do you want to say to someone who is, you know, worried at this time?
Well, I want to say that it's reasonable to be worried. People are concerned, and many folks don't really understand that, what it means to be separated from your family, what it means to possibly never see a loved one again or for many years. And so we recognize that, and at the same time, I encourage people to connect with others for that support. There's so many organizations in Chicago. We're a place that has a strong social services network. It has a strong network of churches, of community groups, of legal services in support of immigrant communities. And the best thing is to be able to connect to some of those organizations for that support and get the information that you need to make the best decisions for yourself and your family. That's going to vary by family, and it's a tough decision, but people should have the information they need to do that.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Up next, a new tool for people facing deportation. Stay with us. In response to deportation threats by President Donald Trump, the Mexican government has launched an emergency alert app called Consul App Contigo. The app is designed to provide resources and alert relatives, lawyers, and officials at the nearest consulate when being detained or deported.
So this is a good way in which you can download the app that now is available for Android and iOS. It's called Consul App Contigo. And whatever you're going to do there, the most important thing is that you put the information of the relatives that you want to use it in case of you have an emergency. This app will allow you to contact quickly, and they will send a message to them and to the consulate about the situation that you are going through. Out of the normal appointments that people make to come to the consulate for service, a lot of people is not coming. So we've been serving half of the population that we usually serve in normal week. So you can tell right away that there is a sense of fear among the community, and it's quite understandable. But as I always say, the best way to combat this fear is information. And this app is a tool that will help give you some peace of mind, knowing that if something's happening to me, if I've been detained by the immigration authorities, I am going to alert my relatives, my close contacts with this emergency button, and they are going to know.
The Consul app Contigo is available on Apple and Android platforms in the U.S. Up next, a move to end birthright citizenship hits its first legal roadblock. But first, a look at the weather. Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship is now facing multiple legal hurdles. A federal judge in Seattle temporarily blocked Trump's order today, calling it blatantly unconstitutional. The order limits citizenship to children with at least one parent who is a citizen or permanent resident. 22 states, including Illinois, have sued Trump's administration, saying the order violates the 14th Amendment. Joining us to discuss the move are Chuck Hernandez, chairman of the Chicago Republican Party, and a former detective with the Chicago Police Department, and Ed Yanka, communications director at the ACLU of Illinois. Thank you both for joining us. There's a lot to talk about,
yes.
Clearly. Now, Ed, as mentioned, a judge has temporarily blocked Trump's plan to end birthright citizenship, calling it unconstitutional. Can you explain what this means?
Yeah. What it means is this order, which was reckless and we believe unconstitutional, cannot go into effect until it's been litigated and seen its way through the courts. I think that's what we anticipated, given the fact that what the new president tried to do was to rewrite the Constitution for the first time in a century and a half just by the stroke of a pen. And so there'll be a chance to make the arguments around this now and block this from going in effect in a way that would hurt a number of different people.
And Chuck, bringing you in, what are your thoughts on this executive order being blocked?
Yeah, I think this was anticipated. Of course, honestly, this is the most controversial of the 200 executive orders that the president has signed. So we expected that this would go to court immediately. Ultimately, we see this going to the Supreme Court, and I believe Donald Trump and his administration is going to win on this.
And Chuck, why do you support Trump's decision to end birthright citizenship?
Well, you know, it shouldn't be just automatic. When you look at citizenship, the 14th Amendment citizenship clause is clear. It's not only being born on U.S. soil, but it's also not having jurisdiction to another country. So if you're a foreign person from another country, you should not be automatically granted citizenship in the United States. People are using this to exploit our immigration system.
And Ed, if Trump's executive order was to pass, what kind of major impact would this have?
Well, it would have an incredible impact on thousands of children, for example, that are born each year in the United States. It would literally render many of those children stateless. Let me say, with all due respect to Chuck and Donald Trump, who may have spent a lot of time in a courtroom, but he's not a constitutional scholar, the argument that Chuck makes about this right was actually debated in the 1860s, when this was actually adopted in order to overturn the Dred Scott decision. So the idea that somehow a president who was elected with one of the smallest margins of victory in the 21st century suddenly has the power to reverse 150 years of history and harm people and make them stateless in the meantime is just an absurdity. That we didn't elect a king. We elected a president, and presidents don't change the Constitution by themselves.
Talking about the Constitution, as we know, at the heart of this issue is the 14th Amendment you
yes.
just talked about and how it should be interpreted. Immigrant advocates are saying that the 14th Amendment protects birthright citizenship, and there has to be a process to change that. Ed, can you tell us more about this?
Yeah. So the Constitution can be changed. Again, the 14th Amendment was adopted because in the wake of the Dred Scott decision, it was determined that a simply passing a statute, which had been passed previously, was not enough to assure that the right of birthright citizenship would be guaranteed in the United States. And so the specific language of the 14th Amendment was debated and adopted in Congress and then by the several states. The same process could change it, but it can't be changed by an executive order. It's simply not the way we change the Constitution.
Yeah. How do you view this, Chuck?
Ed's absolutely wrong. And the reason why he's wrong is it's a matter of interpretation. He doesn't have to change the law. The 14th Amendment citizen clause is exactly as it reads. It's a matter of interpretation. And it was interpreted for many, many years as people who were here that were foreigners, their children were not U.S. citizens. I'll give you an example. Hold on a second.
Wait a second.
Now, I'll give you an example. I'm Mexican-American. That's my heritage. There were Mexicans here in the 20s under work visa type of program. When the Great Depression hit, they were repatriated back to Mexico. Along with their children that were born on U.S. soil, they were never given U.S. citizenship, and that was understandable to everybody in the U.S. That's history.
There's an 1898 Supreme Court case in which this question was clearly decided. I'm not sure what the reference is here. This is a fringe legal theory that's been advanced by people like John Eastman, who the last we heard before he was disbarred was suggesting that the vice president of the United States can overturn an election. This is a theory that nobody believes to be true, and we've operated under this system for 150 years. We can't change it in a single moment like this. It's dangerous and reckless.
And I want to talk about some numbers. Illinois joined three other states suing Trump over this executive order. According to that lawsuit, it says in Illinois in 2020 alone, there are approximately 9,100 United States citizen children born to mothers who lack legal status, and approximately 5,200 United States citizen children born to two parents who lack legal status. Chuck, what about mixed families, mixed status families who are now impacted because of this possible new law?
Well, what about them? You have people that are coming here for birth tourism. They're coming into our country just to have the child here to obtain U.S. citizenship for their child. That is wrong. They are visitors to our country. They're welcome as a visitor, but their child should not obtain legal citizenship automatically. Anyways, this matter is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, and there are legal scholars on both sides. I do believe that Trump is going to win on this one.
Do you think this is going to pass?
I don't think it will pass muster, even with this Supreme Court. Let me just say the idea of birth tourism is something that's a myth, like people eating pets in Springfield, Ohio. This isn't something that happens. These are people who are here, who are contributing to society and have children, live lives along the way. This would just harm those children.
Would it also harm, like, for example, as we know, there's thousands of people who are living here, who've been living here maybe for more than 20, 30 years. Would that impact their families in case that they want to have children moving forward?
Absolutely. And it would further divide families in the mixed status families. It would further divide families where you may have had two children who previously are United States citizens. You have a third child. That child is suddenly not and is literally stateless. This isn't the way to, you know, foster either a good immigration policy or, candidly, to foster a good economy.
And similar question to you, Chuck. What about for those people who have been living here for 20, 30 years, waiting to get their citizenship, and they're kind of on limbo? You know, what about those families?
Yeah, you don't have anything to fear if you're following the law and you're doing things right, right? If you're here illegally, then we have a problem. And then so the Trump administration is going to enforce immigration law. That's what he ran on. That's what he won on. That's what the American people voted for. Overwhelmingly, and Ed's trying to say it was a close election. It was not a close election. He won all seven swing states. He won the popular vote. Get over it, Ed. You lost.
Oh, no, I admit he's president, but he did. He won by less than he lost in 2020, and he's never acknowledged he lost. I don't know where the mandate is, quite candidly.
You know, I want to say we talked a bit about this. There are some who say that birthright citizenship provides ways for immigrants to come into the country and have children who will get them legal status. Ed, you know, what's your response to that?
The idea of birth tourism, or the idea that there's some sort of a anchor that's created by that, I think belies the reality for people who come here, who are working, who meet someone, who have a child. You know, that's the way life works in general. And I think, again, making these children pawns in the game of immigration and being tough on immigration is just something that we shouldn't be doing.
And Chuck, do you think that's accurate? Is birthright citizenship being abused?
Yes, I think it's being abused, it's being exploited, and I congratulate Donald Trump. Not only did he win, but he, from day one, he's taking on tough subjects like this. He has the courage to do it. He sees that this is a question out there, and he's saying, let's put this out there. He knows it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and I believe he's on good grounds, and he's going to win.
Ed, any final thoughts?
No, I think ultimately we'll see this struck down, and, you know, birthright citizenship will remain a bedrock of our constitutional system.
Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
And that's our show for this Thursday night. Be sure to sign up for our free email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan, at WTTW.com/newsletter. You can also stay connected by following us on Blue Sky at WTTW. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 7 for the weekend review. Now, from all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Joanna Hernandez. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe. Buenas noches.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm, and proud sponsor of programming that offers advice and strategies to enhance the physical and mental well-being of fellow legal practitioners in Illinois.